Well, today is the Feast of Pentecost. It's a day we think of the Holy Spirit coming and descending on flames of fire, as we heard read in the first lesson, empowering the disciples to be able to speak the word of God with God's power. It's also a day when we are remembering the first saint to whom this church was dedicated, St. Barnabas. And St. Barnabas' Day falls on the 11th of June, and we mark it on the Sunday nearest to that, which is why we have such glorious weather today. So, St. Barnabas, how do I link that to Pentecost? Well, I'm going to do it quite simply by saying St. Barnabas is described in the scriptures as a man full of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit and Barnabas, they go together. Who was Barnabas? What do we know about him? And what can we learn from his example? Well, first of all, we hear about him in chapter 4 of the Acts of the Apostles, where it says, there was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, I love that description of him as a son of encouragement. If I take him as a model for Christian ministry, not just for clergy, but for all of us, what a wonderful description to be a son of encouragement. To encourage us in the faith. To encourage us to stand firm. To encourage us to grow in faith. We all need encouragement, don't we? And what a wonderful description of a Christian leader, son of encouragement. And then the other thing that lesson tells us is that he used his own property. He took a field that he owned, sold it, and gave the money to the church to be used to support the poor and those in need. Now that's a challenge to our own practice of stewardship, isn't it? He took something that he could quite legitimately have regarded as his own property and used it for the good of others. Think about our own history as a church. Where did this piece of land come from? Where did this building behind me come from? It's because people in our past have dug deep into their pockets and given of what is their own property. Previous generations have done it. Where is that practice in our own generation? And that's not to say that everybody has to give up everything they possess, but there's the challenge for us. Is our property really our property, or is it God's, and we are stewards of it and called to use it for the glory of God as well as for our own needs? Well, we hear about Barnabas many times in the scriptures, and one of the places we hear about him is when Paul is converted. And I'm going to muddle up his name, Saul and Paul, because the scriptures do it. After his conversion, he gets known as Paul, but about that time in the Acts of the Apostles, one minute he's Saul, the next he's Paul, then he's Saul again. Luke was inconsistent. Anyway, Paul was a persecutor of the church. He was there when Stephen was martyred. He stood guard over the coats of those who stoned him. He went to the high priest and he got letters of authority to drag followers of Jesus in chains to Jerusalem and put them on trial for some kind of heresy. He went to Damascus breathing threats of fire. And we heard some weeks ago, I think it's back in February, but I'm not sure, the story of his conversion. I remember Father Brian preaching upon it and talking about how Ananias was sent by God to Paul to heal him of his blindness. And Ananias is there saying, You don't really mean that, do you, God? I'm paraphrasing the scriptures. You don't really mean that, God. That's the man who is persecuting us. And God sends him. But you can imagine that the whole of the early church is terrified of meeting Paul. And Barnabas comes into the story. But Barnabas took Paul, brought him to the apostles, and described for them how on the road Paul had seen the Lord, who had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. And I think, what a wonderful example of somebody who reaches out to the person who makes us all feel uncomfortable. To the person we would really rather wish he just went away and we didn't have to bother about him. To the person we're afraid of. To the person whose motives we suspect. Barnabas reaches out to him and brings him from being an outcast right into the midst of the apostles and makes him acceptable. What a wonderful example of what we as Christians are called to do. Reach out to the outcast. Now, as the church was persecuting its early years, it spread out of Jerusalem across the Middle East, and in particular in a town called Antioch, which is north of Jerusalem on the coast of the Mediterranean, more or less. And there was a lot of new converts made there. And the apostles in Jerusalem felt they needed somebody there to teach them the faith, to tell them all that Jesus had taught them. And what did they do? They chose Barnabas and they sent him to Antioch because he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And when Barnabas got there, he discovered that the job was simply too big for him. There was too much to be done and too many people to minister to, and he needed help. And so he went and he found Paul in Tarsus and he brought him to Antioch. He brought this outcast and this outsider to help him in that work because he recognized something in him that nobody else could see, that he would be a great teacher and a great church leader. And that's part of our story. We're so familiar with Paul. Half the New Testament is written by him. But if Barnabas had not reached out and drawn him in, nothing of that would have happened. So, first of all, I recognize in Barnabas a person who says, this job is too big, it needs to be spread among more people. That's something a lot of my fellow clergy and myself at times need to learn. But ministry is not the preserve of one or two people, it is something that we should all be sharing. But find an ability to identify people who can help because they have the gifts that are needed, and then to give them the freedom to do that. And sometimes you recognize that help comes from people who are outside your church, who can be drawn in and who can be equipped and develop and grow. And Barnabas gives us a wonderful example of that. Then we move on to Acts chapter 13, and the church in Antioch is sending out missionaries around the Mediterranean. And whom do they choose? Paul, who we always hear about, and Barnabas. The two of them set off on their missionary journey. And so there is another example from Barnabas of reaching out beyond the comfort zone, reaching out to people who are not part of the church to draw them into the fellowship of Christ, going to places where people are. And it makes me realize when I think of Barnabas and Paul, but that's something we need to do. It is so easy to sit in the church and expect people from out there to come into us. And some of the things we need to do are to get out there and be the agents of Christ in the world where other people are. It's why I love the fact we have our God and Guinness evenings. We're going out beyond where we are to encourage other people. And who knows who we might meet and pick up. I love the occasions when I hear of people in our church involved in some other organisation and not living their whole life in the church, because it means that the Christian gospel is being spread, because people are talking about it and seeing it. And Barnabas gives us an encouragement of that. But Barnabas and Paul's missionary journeys caused problems. They converted people, and people started coming who were not people like us. The Jews in the church discovered the Gentiles also became Christians. And it's a big tension throughout the Acts of the Apostles. What about those people who are different? And there would be some who said they need to become Jews before they can become Christians. And people came to Antioch and started disrupting Paul and Barnabas's preaching, saying these people need to be circumcised, at least the men. And just checking you're still listening. These people need to become Jews, they would say. And that argument was there everywhere in the early church. And so Paul and Barnabas were sent to Jerusalem to explain their actions to the apostles and the elders. And there is a wonderful verse, which I can't find at the moment in my notes. I've lost it. But it's something like, I found it, the whole assembly kept silence and listened to Barnabas and Paul as they told of all the signs and wonders that God had done through them among the Gentiles. Barnabas is at the heart of bringing groups that are in conflict within the church together, to listen to one another, to learn from each other, and to grow together. Now, boy, do we need that spirit today. Because look at our Christian church. We've got Episcopalians. You can walk down the road and find Congregationalists, Methodists, Roman Catholics, Lutherans, Pentecostals, community churches, you name it. We are such a divided community of Christians. Sometimes we just like to worship in different ways, and that's fine. Sometimes we're almost in great conflict about what we believe. And how much do we need somebody like Barnabas to say, listen to one another, learn from each other, reach beyond the stereotypes, and put Christ at the center and grow. So Barnabas is our patron saint, as well as St. Anne. Barnabas is an encouragement to us. He challenges us to reach beyond our barrier, our boundaries, to reach across the barriers that divide us, and he comes with a zeal for missionary work and a commitment that says he puts his money where his mouth is. Now, isn't that a wonderful example for us? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.